Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, tonight we're going to look at an experience that is your natural state, but has become foreign to you. We're going to look at something that only you have, and yet you seek it. We're going to look at something that you own from your creation, from day moment one. And yet, it eludes you, like trying to hold water in your fist. Here. We're going to look at something that is A Course in Miracles' stated purpose. What is peace? What is peace? I mean, this is so worthy of a conversation, yet, like the Course says, it says, in one place it says, perhaps you don't think you need an entire book to explain to you what's so obvious. It says that.
When I was growing up, I grew up with this,
okay,
but I couldn't figure out what it meant. Right? Uh-huh. They said it meant peace, but I was like, well, what did it got two?
Uh-huh.
Is there like a double edge to that?
Hey.
I don't know.
I didn't want to mistake it for a Western finger salute now.
Well, okay, maybe.
So I have to go for the next best thing, too.
Right, you don't use the one finger. That's good.
Okay.
Very safe.
Thanks. You solved the puzzle.
Thank you. I might have.
So what is peace? Let's take a few minutes now. And I'll tell you, this is a great example of what we do here. We take the very, very simple and we find out what it means to you personally in these meditations. This is a chance to give yourself a gift, a checkup, even, as you check in on what your beliefs are.
When the doctor doesn't give me, that's good.
Yeah, because it's too personal for the doctor to give you this. It's too personal for a psychiatrist or psychologist to give you this understanding. Each time we do these kind of meditations, these are very, very personal. It's a chance for you to get honest with yourself. Now, where are you now as you ask this question, what is peace? It's probably not what it meant to you a year ago, if even a week ago. But this is a question that might be an answer to your very power. Something that you own that cannot be given to you, but was in your creation. Something that only you can actually experience, how personal this is. This is the essential experience of the true you. Peace. So let's take a few moments and just think about this. What is peace? Is peace even possible in a world where hunger happens on a regular basis, in a world where cold comes about and you need shielding from it, in a world where every single living thing as nicely as it can smile, as friendly as it can be, as loving as it can express, every living thing will die. And yet, we all know this word. We all know this word with a fondness, a desire. Perhaps we even treasure this word. what it describes. So what is peace? Think about that for a minute. Think about maximum peace you could possibly experience. And what would be comprised by that? What is going on for you to have the maximum peace you could possibly experience? How is that? Why don't you feel this way all the time? What would have to be present for you to feel this way? The maximum peace you could possibly have. What would be present for that? And if you would, please come up with just a word or phrase that touches on a component or what has to be present for the maximum peace you could possibly have. David, what would be present so you could afford to have the maximum peace you could possibly have?
Just be it. Make it, it's like, you know, I am peaceful. Mm-hmm. And it comes from inside me, so as long as I don't see all the negative out there and I look at it as the positive, I just make it peaceful.
It's being like, it.
Like being in the world but not of it?
Yeah, in other words, peace comes from in here. So if I want to be peaceful, I just be peaceful.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to... Like a switch.
You can have all this other stuff happening out there, you know, but you're not responsible for it. You know, the ego is, and the ego is self-created. When you're self-created, you automatically are guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm not an ego. Mm-hmm. When I see myself, I need an answer. It's going to come from within. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do much of anything. I'm God created. He's going to give me the answers. I just ask for them. It's peaceful.
Be the peace.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shift your identity from whatever's not peaceful to peace.
Yeah, just be it. I mean, that's how you experience peace. Mm-hmm. You can believe in God, but the moment you experience Him, now you're, wow.
Yeah.
So you start experiencing peace.
Yeah.
You can't, well, I believe in peace, but no, I'm going to experience it, and then it becomes a reality.
Yeah, see, that's the difference between using drugs to get peaceful versus being peaceful without the drugs. You can actually get very mellow on drugs, right?
Yeah.
You can be shifted. Yeah. You could just be, with the worst things happening in your life, you get the right drug, and you're the coolest cat.
But then you notice the next time you do the drug, it's not the same, because you have this assumption, that was so cool, I'm going to have that next time.
Even after the drug wears off, if you can tolerate that, you look back on that hours of peace, and you did not own them.
Exactly.
You did not own them, you borrowed them. And you know full well you didn't own them, because you do not feel peaceful now.
And then when the guy tries to get that peace again from the drug, never the same.
It's a new
worse
game.
Every time.
Yes, indeed. Yes. It's not being peace, is it?
No.
It may be having some kind of peace, but it's not being it. Yeah. In Course in Miracles, it says, having and being are the same in truth.
Yes.
It's one of the metaphysical principles of this book that just rocks my world.
I've been experiencing that a lot, where the experience, that's the whole thing, so every time I have the experience again, it's I leave the past out of it.
You got to do that.
You're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You go meet somebody you met before and you had a good time with them, but if you're thinking your experience is going to be that's cool we had there, you're thinking, you're creating anew.
Yes.
You won't have as good, but if you just let it go.
Fact is, you're reborn in every instant, yes. But you don't, you forget yeah. it. Stephen, what? Tell me, what's a component of the perfect peace?
For me, like no conflict.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
Acceptance, huh? Yeah.
For me, it has to be. I would have to be present.
Going with the flow, first nature.
If I'm there in the present moment.
Uh huh.
And that's the I. Yeah. And that has peace. That comes with peace.
Yeah.
If I can get to this moment and be present.
Yeah. Yeah. Conflict's pretty complex. Conflict, it's pretty complex. Because we're desiring something other than what is.
But dreaming, it's there. It's there when I'm in that positive space, whatever you want to call it, when
yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
There's no conflict. The only one causing conflict is me, and when I stop doing it, there's no conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really beautiful.
Nice. Yes. No conflict. I like it. Mark?
That's good. Lack of resistance. Mm. Like not resisting.
Yeah.
Not resisting stuff, internal stuff, and then what happens external.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Lack of resistance, no argument.
Right.
That's a going with the flow.
Right.
Again, it's first nature.
Allowing things to be the way they are.
Yeah.
Not trying to change things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony DeMello, one of my favorite enlightened guys. He says, be enlightened is to cooperate with the inevitable.
Yeah.
But if it's inevitable, that means it's going to come whether you cooperate or not.
That's part of that would think, that would assume that you know what's going to happen and you can't.
Could you tell me what's going to happen right now? Please?
It's going to happen.
What's happening is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, what's happening.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you predict into the future, you're going to the la-la land. You're starting to argue already by yeah. dreaming about a conflict arises.
Yeah, I guess when something that happens is inevitable. There's an inevitability to things that occur.
And when do things occur?
Yeah.
They occur now. Things do not occur in the future. Did you know that? The future, it never actually comes. Yeah. A little detail.
I think what causes conflict is fear of what's going to happen in the future.
Yes. Yes. Future. Past.
Yeah.
It's ways to avoid again. The present. It already happened. I think I know why he said that. I know what really happened, and it could happen again. A way to not be present, you bet. That's an argument. It's a delusion and an argument.
An argument.
With what is.
Right.
Rehearsing or rehashing?
Yeah. Say again, rehearsing or rehashing? Yeah.
Yeah. But so what's the difference then between like a real danger or threat, like a real, like, you know, somebody's gonna start a war, somebody's gonna drop a bomb on your head.
Yep, yep.
You know, just go, I'm gonna be at peace with that.
Well,
that's crazy.
That would be crazy, crazy and foolish. And let's just take, instead of a bomb or war, let's just take a 2x4 with a nail in the end sticking out on David's shoulder, which is going to be about the rest of us head height, it's coming around right for your face as he turns the corner.
Duck.
Duck.
In peace.
In peace. Without feeling a sense of loss that, oh my God, here it comes. Don't wait for that. Why? How? Because there are two levels. We are in duality. We do think we're bodies. And we're on a journey where, as a course says, you got body or you got spirit. And whichever you choose as the most important, the other will serve. I said we got body or spirit, that's it. That's the entire continuum. Whichever you choose, the other will serve. And so we are heavily invested in bodies and 2x4s with nails and foreheads don't do well for the body. The spirit is serving the body here. So you could pour some attention onto protecting your little temple. Because leaving our bodies would be so fearful, we're not asked to do that. This is not the challenge for your enlightenment, that you must drop your body now. Although the book fully supports your body is nothing. It's a wholly neutral thing. It doesn't feel, it doesn't like, it doesn't hate. It does nothing. The book fully supports lesson 199-200. It says, practice this all day today, please. I am not a body. Yes, it does support that. This is a course in miracles to teach us how to shift away from error. You will do it in your own time. Until then, duck. But do it in peace. Otherwise, you'll have conflict with every possible 2x4. Mm. And we'll make him responsible instead of you for not ducking. We'll make him responsible for carrying around a board with a nail in it. What were you thinking? That's good. Not resist the problem. Mar Rio.
The undercurrent. Okay, actually, you know, it's... God, there's just so much to say about that. I think I said it right here. You answered something for me. It's my conflict that I'm having with myself. And I've learned through this Course in Miracles that I could face my conflicts with a treaty. And that treaty takes me into my past. Well, I'm sorry. And I'm finding that out right now because the silence is so loud in my place right now.
Let me ask you this question. If you were to be, if you were actually to afford, if somehow you were in the maximum peace you could possibly know, give me one component that would have to be present. What would have to be real at that point? What are you at that point?
Letting go.
Letting go. Oh my God. Letting go. What's the opposite of letting go? Hanging on. Mm-hmm. Tight.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
This is peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just letting go and just you know, just understanding the letting go and then the treaty that goes with it. Bye. You know? I mean, I'm just looking at it, it's like, I'm reflecting on all my stuff, but okay, it's my stuff, it's my treaty, mm-hmm. and I'll honor it. Mm-hmm. You know, I already went through that course. Mm-hmm. And
you'll honor it.
Yeah.
You will honor it. As if your life depended
on it. Yeah, it depends on it. I want that peace.
Any less than that is not peaceful. No. Any less than that is not peaceful. It's conditional. It's like taking a drug. If it's 99%, when is that 1% going to show up? Will that 1% show up right at the wrong time? In front of somebody you just told that you loved them last week? I didn't mean for the 1% to show up now. I didn't really mean it at all. Sorry.
Okay, I'll use that.
That is hard. There's chaos in that. No, 100%, right? Yeah. Well, what's present for the maximum peace that you could possibly imagine?
You know, I don't know. I've never experienced that.
High five, buddy!
I really don't know. The first thing I thought of when you started the meditation was a slogan, or I think it was an old advertisement for insurance: peace of mind.
Mm. Yeah.
And just that sense of
that sense of
no worries, everything will be taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. It has insurance.
Just.
A really good insurance policy.
Yeah.
I rented a car once in New York, and it was just for one day. And I thought, you know what? These are bad roads and everything from business. You know, I'm just going to get the whole ticket. You know, they said, do you want insurance for those liability defense? What's up? You give me everything. And so they said, the guy's eyes went open. You know, there's no New Yorker does that. Where are you from? Right? And he hands me the keys and he said, you have no financial responsibility for this vehicle.
Woohoo! Off there to the Porsche, thanks.
This is great!
Oh, you know what's funny? It's funny we're bringing up this word peace. We can retire now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. You're covered. You're ready.
Yeah.
It's all covered.
100%.
With extra. Yeah. Nothing to worry about. It's all taken care of. There's a phone number on the keychain. If you can get to that, we'll come take whatever's left of the car and bring you another one. That's what he said. We'll bring you another one if you wreck it. I felt it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful peace. Donna, what's present for the maximum peace you can imagine?
Well, so many things came through my mind because I was starting on the outer edges and I thought of Peace Pilgrim. I don't know how many people read her book, and my mind was going through that, like what she said. And I wanted to come back to that. Then I thought of the Krishnamurti story, the enlightened teacher Krishnamurti, and at the end of his life, I don't know if people knew this, and he was going to tell his secret in this lecture. And everybody was waiting with bated breath, and, you know, what is your secret? And he says, I don't care. Something like, I don't care what happens. And everybody was so disappointed. But that was it. So, So I just thought, when you said peace, I thought it was, for me, it was a little ironic, because this morning I was practicing from what we had done in here, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where we did the meditation, and then we found this, our own sacred space.
A little garden,
where we
yes.
just kind of hand over. So when I was doing that, I had my eyes closed, and then the words, eternal abode of peace, mm-hmm. came to mind. And mm-hmm. so... Then, though, when you said, what gets in the way of this, I was just recalling, I opened my eyes, and then I start I think this has been talked about, but I start identifying with time,
mm-hmm.
as if there's something I have to, like a merry-go-round going around, I have to catch this,
yeah.
and I have to be in time.
Suddenly you care what happens.
Suddenly I care what happens, so I'm out of it, but the... To the degree, and not 100%, for me, it's moving into presence, where it's like there's a big space around me,
mm-hmm.
and in that kind of like eternal presence,
yeah.
then things just seem to be happening. It doesn't seem like I'm creating, I'm entering into the creation
yes.
differently.
Yes. How much time is available in the exact present, what she called the eternal presence, so that's kind of a giveaway. If anybody's ever meditated right into the present moment, you really got there. It is so spacious. There is no limit to that singularity. It's an amazing freedom, isn't it? If you've ever touched that reality, you know you don't need to worry about what happens because nothing's actually happening. And there's a lesson that brings us to that very point. It says you can't even... Nothing happens in the present moment, it says. Check it out. It says everything in your world, in your reality, your ego reality, takes time to occur. You can't even die in a present moment. That takes time. Is that the last breath? Not yet. I think there's a couple more left. Wait, here's the last breath. Yeah, that's it. You can't even die in an exact zero time, right? It doesn't happen. You sure can't experience it anyway. It's good. It's good. That's why he doesn't care. Because he knows. He's been there. You only have to go there for an instant to say the gig is up. All the rest of this, where you take serial events, piling them up one after the other to make one thing. How many? A lot of them. To make one thing understood. Oh my God. Once you get out of that little cycle of chasing your own imagination and dreams and fears, and you recognize that you are only alive in between the moments. That's where you actually exist. In between the moments that you're so busy thinking about. There's huge freedom in that simplicity. And there's infinity and eternity. And there's a glimpse of your real identity in between the moments. It's extremely peaceful. Thank you. Jeff, what's present for the maximum peace you can imagine?
Something you just said reminded me of a John Lennon quote. I'm trying to remember the actual quote, but it's something like, presence is what happens while you're busy making other plans, or something like that.
Yeah, life is what happens.
Life is what happens.
Yeah.
That's good. I definitely have been like a victim of my own victim.
Yes!
Of that.
Honestly, that's what the book is written that way.
Yeah.
We live like victims.
But,
yeah.
You know, peace is definitely like evolving into a state of being able to, you know, disconnect from planning for the future and ruminating on the past, you know. So it's like getting into a spot where you can be, you know, experience the reality of it and enjoy it.
What would it be like? What would happen? What would it be like it's if freeing, you dropped right? into that?
Yeah.
Is there a word that comes up? Peace? What's the word? Give us a word that you might apply to that.
One word. Happy?
Happy.
Like when you're happy, you're
happy.
At peace. Like you're at peace.
Yes.
You know, it's like
serenity might be a word. Huh? Serenity.
Serenity, sure. I mean, a lot of times I'll just catch myself. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm happy.
Yeah. What's oh, my God, what happened?
What's going on?
Yeah. Isn't it peaceful to be happy? You know, like, so we've done happiness before, too. And it's a wonderful meditation. And there is an unhooked, out-of-control element to happiness. The happiness? You guys remember this? Anybody here been long enough? You were probably here.
I don't remember.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I don't know. I think we had a whole change out in crew, maybe, since then. We did a... And there is... You can't... The real happiness now, okay? It doesn't fit in the body. So what happens is your mouth opens and your muscles shake. This happens! It can't... You can't act the real happiness. It's like, whoa! It doesn't fit in your body. You don't fit in your body. So also true sorrow. You open your mouth and it sounds different. And the tears pour. Because that doesn't fit in your body either. A real happiness, it goes beyond your body. You don't hold that in. In fact, you need to do something to recognize it. Whether it's take a moment and say, I'm happy, what's up? I feel no strain, no stress. I feel kind of giddy. And you'll know love is in the air if you say, I'd like to share this with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Masako, what's present with the greatest peace you can imagine?
Well, I've been giving this some thought in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
So, the strongest ingredient for me is just a presence of being at home and feeling just whole. And it's hard to describe that feeling of wholeness.
Mm.
Because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I
That's it.
See, what's a description? You know, so a description of whole is beautiful. You know, wholeness and completeness is this sense of completeness you get from wholeness, as the Course says in a lesson. You recognize that there is nothing you could possibly add. There's nothing more you could add to wholeness. It's a wonderful, full state. And the way the Course describes it, it says the way you get to this experience of fullness, again, is by coming entirely into the present moment, where you discover you have no capacity to take on anything else.
Or winning the lottery.
Yeah, before you have to count it, before you find out how much taxes come out, before
they get scammed out of it.
He gets,
You know, it's again, like what we've been talking about is it's only available as an experience right now. And I think that's why for me that experience of being whole, it always feels fresh, like I've never felt this before. And yet my mind tells me, yeah, I have, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, whatever. But to experience that in the moment, it's different.
You reckon that you've been here long enough where you've heard people say, in real honest moments, they're afraid of peace, real peace, because it might be boring.
you know where I'm finding
right?
it?
You know what I'm talking about?
You know where I'm finding it? When I'm running around in the morning, like either getting ready for work or whatever, but then the first moment I step outside into that peace, that universe, from the air, the sun, the gravity, everything, I'm just like, oh, wait a minute. Where am I? And when I get that glimpse of, it's really awesome. It's an awesome place.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that more and more, and I'm like, wait a minute. Do I really have to live outside now?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh, maybe, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, get a tent or something. Yeah.
See, it's an out-of-time interval.
Yeah. So, but actually, it's showing me something about the way I'm living and the way I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what Jeff said. He says, whoa, you know, I'm really happy right now. I'm not even sure why. And the more you think about it, you might come up with, well, I shouldn't be so happy. Rent's due tomorrow. Masako.
You mentioned about there's some conversation from people that they're not sure if they want peace because it might be boredom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Another reason I can think of is because it's a loss in identity.
Oh yeah. Oh boy.
That's puts the fear of God. Oh boy.
That's a huge cost. I'm not even sure how to pay that. How do you write a check for my identity, everything I am, me too? That's why I say you have to get to this little garden in your mind where you're not invited. I'm not saying that's going to happen the first day. You'll probably find your body standing there in your altar and wondering where to put it. I mean, that's how it starts. But eventually you recognize that you don't need what you know about you to be. And a certain way to do that is the presence meditation, where you surrender all aspects of time and you just recognize how present you really are. And the wholeness will arise. If you think about, what could I add to this moment now? It's impossible because it takes time to do that.
Yeah, you know, the other thing where I've experienced something akin to peace, and I don't know whether it is, but, you know, like being of service to somebody else, like listening to the person without your own agenda.
Yes.
You know, where you're just like trying to hear what the person's saying.
Yes,
fully available. And you don't try and, like, compete with them.
Yes.
For getting your two cents in.
You're just totally open and patient and willing to serve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I notice when I'm that way, I say stuff that I don't recognize myself.
Well, huh?
Yeah.
The barriers are down. Yes. Yeah, you know they say that when somebody's drunk, they're really honest, the truth comes out?
Yeah.
You're drunk on love in that moment, and the truth comes out. Mm. Your ability to help, and really help, is there. It will surprise you too. Mm. Beautiful. Mm. Yeah, very nice, very nice. Beautiful, how peaceful. Yes, yes, love, love, love. Julie, what's present in the maximum love you can experience?
Stillness. I've been doing a good job at that lately. My new job is just, you know, I'm learning, and it's also really busy. So, and instead of choosing to feel overwhelmed by it, it's feeding this like weird adrenaline rush of like, I won't forget a single thing, I can do it all. Like, I put my finger on that this week, and I'm like, this is also ego. I need to like just stop. Stillness.
Nice. So there is a stillness on the inside. That has nothing to do with how busy the outside is. I'm not a body, even as my body is busy. Now that's really not a body. I'm not a body when I can manage to sit in a dark closet and hold the darn thing still, strap it down. It's not a bad way to start. I highly encourage that, if that's what you need. Do the physical meditations where you isolate your body and get it to be quiet and still and sit on a soft cushion so it doesn't argue about the hind side while you are getting still. Definitely. But don't stop there. That's just a tease. That's a taste of the drug. So you can say, I want more of that while I have to go to work now or sit in traffic and do my... Oh, I can be still even now while I'm, doing this. I can still do it. I can remember what it's like to be peaceful even as I... This is how the master is awoken in you. The master applies the stillness. The true adept is still on the inside even as the outside is busy. Good. Good. Good call. Claudia.
Well, a lot of things that came to mind have already been talked about, the quiet mind, the stillness, the calmness. I have to have a really clear mind. My mind has to be really clear, really empty to feel peace. And really present. I also find a lot of peace, like at lunchtime, a lot of times I just go sit on a bench on the cliff and look at the ocean, and that just... It's so powerful to me. Mm-hmm. It just is. Mm-hmm. I just have this tremendous feeling of peace when I'm sitting there.
Wow. What is it that is peaceful about that ocean view? What is peaceful about the ocean view? You get there, you sit. Is it the bench is so comfortable?
No, the bench isn't all that comfortable.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's not. No, just watching the water, watching it sparkle in the sunlight.
I think it's the unlimitedness of it.
The massive. Yeah. It's just so massive and beautiful, and it just calms me.
And everybody sat on that probably the same bench, right, Santa Cruz? Mm-hmm. Everybody's been there. I've been there where I said, whoa! I come out of my forest. I live in the forest, right? There's trees like right there. You get out on the edge of the ocean, and as far as you can see, there's nothing to see but this massive. Somebody else, give Claudia and me some more words. What's it like? What are you witnessing when you're at that? Spaciousness.
And I was looking at all the little people down there, and I go, there's my brothers and sisters down there, and we're all like this one big, beautiful thing here. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, it's very, very peaceful about that large, large seemingly unlimited expanse.
It's you know, it's a sense of infinity.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're in touch with a sort of a you know, some sort of cosmic universal,
yeah,
like pull.
Yeah, and if you take your shoes off and walk on the sand, that gravity just pulls that energy through your body up and down. Do do do.
The ocean breathes for me.
Yeah,
you'd be present in the ocean, just breathes for me in a big breath that I never get.
Can you feel the ocean? Can you go out there and feel the whole thing?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. And then my mind sees the patterns and the waveforms, and I go, wow. And I bring that beautiful sense. It's like, wow. Every little spot on that ocean is entirely different, and yet it's all one.
Yeah.
And to me, that is so, it's like, I need that. I feel that, and I'm like, refreshed. Wow. Infinite variety, all being one. And I'm like,
oh, I get to have that on my ocean.
You're talking about being in the tree, so it's, well, when you're in a forest, it's like the opposite experience. You're like kind of your senses are overwhelmed by all the rush of all the stuff you're seeing.
But the granularity, individual pieces, yeah.
Yeah, but when you're looking at the ocean, you're responding in a like a almost visceral sense, and you're taking it all in at once. So you're feeling like the totality of it at once.
Taking in miles at once.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so massive, too. And I think what part of it is when I'm looking at it, it makes me put things in perspective, and it feels like everything is working just the way it's supposed to. Mm. Everything is just as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I don't have to, you know, there's nothing I can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
No, thank you. So nothing you can do about
everything
this.
Everything is working just the way it's supposed to. Everything is as it should be.
Expansive. How old is the ocean? It's pretty old. Yeah. It's not doing what it does. Big time.
A river could do the same thing.
Uh-huh. How deep is the ocean, anybody? Anybody know how deep the ocean is? In the planet Earth? What's the average depth of the ocean, anybody?
I don't know.
5 miles or something.
It's 2 miles.
2 miles. The average depth?
Yeah, the average depth is 2 miles. Some places deeper, some places shallower. Mm-hmm. But overall average is 2 miles deep.
Wow. 2 miles.
What does the ocean reflect to me? Whatever I kind of put out there, the ocean like reflects it. It's like giving everything.
Maybe so. For me, it's an instant and no mind experience of the oneness. There's no thought. It's just like, wow. You know? It's a deeper knowing.
I say that every time I'm driving down the hill of campus because I see the whole bay.
Yeah.
And I always have exactly that. I go, it forces me to take a breath every single time I drive down that
hill. What is that, Julie?
And
why are you taking a breath?
It kind of like makes you
It's a reset. It's
a reset, right?
I'm back in the present moment. That's what it is. I can be thinking about everything at work before that, and I drive down that hill, and I can't think about anything else.
What is that view? What is that massive presence reset you to the present moment, anybody?
I think it's reflecting or part of our true nature, which is beauty. It's giving that back to us. And we're like, woo!
What is it?
I think the sheer scale like takes you out of your head enough to like make you feel a little bit like not as self-important for a minute. Like you just realize how big it is.
Yeah,
it's so you're just like, I'm a piece of this, but it's not all about me.
Right? The sheer scale of it, right? Yeah. What is it, Walt?
I was going to say that water doesn't have any color. It's clear, so it always reflects everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, the sky, and the bay. The Big Sur Mountains are the color of the sky. The water's the color of the sky.
Uh-huh.
Everything is this bluish something.
Yeah.
It sort of all blends together.
Yeah. Reset. Big reset occurs when you see that. Whoa, there it is.
And I suddenly need more oxygen.
It's like, I have
more oxygen.
I'm drowning.
My body wants more oxygen. I got more to
I'm drowning. Nightmare.
No, I like that. Very good. Very good.
But I cut you off.
Expansiveness, the ocean. We all know this. We don't have the words for it, which is perfect, right? We're all reaching that which you are communicating. Thank you. Louanna. Luann.
Luann.
No way,
just an E.
No way. I just met a Luana. So yes. Don't think that. Don't think about the pink elephant with the green toenails. Okay, Luann.
I experience peace when I witness as when I'm experiencing myself as a witness to God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And what I need in order to do that is faith that it's always going on and I don't have to do anything else.
That's kind of a quality of God, right? Always going on and I don't have to do it. And that's beautiful. Witnessing God's grace. That can afford some serious peace. It's all working.
And the first time I've experienced it a number of times, but the time that I always go back to is when my granddaughter was about 5 months and I had a blanket and there was a tree with just some sprinkling little leaves glittering. And she was 5 months old and she sat there. She lay on the blanket and I was laying by her. I was watching her. And she was smiling for 45 minutes. One time she looked over and smiled at me and then she went back to looking at the tree and I thought, oh my God, she is experiencing God's. She's connected to God right now.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so what I need for that is faith that God is always working and I don't have to do it.
And you know what it looks like.
And I know what it looks like.
And now we do too. That little girl smiling. I can see that. John, hold up a piece.
Well, all I can think of is kind of a technical answer, like a definition, but it's a mental state characterized by serenity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, herein lies the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd throw that in there.
Not bad. Where did he read that? Yeah.
Yeah, what book?
Good reading that book.
Yes. And it's state of invulnerable.
Yeah, that would be reference to that statement.
Yeah. Threatlessness. Nice. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you have faith that God is always operating, threatens.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If you have that, if you actually have the faith, the courage is in having the faith.
Can you read that cell phone number again?
The cell phone number? He says that's a phone number. That those first words.
Well, what I'm saying, it talks to you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. It's just that's...
Dial God and get peace on the line.
Hello.
When you say those words.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists.
You know, the one word I haven't heard in the circle today is acceptance.
I think I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really working with the concept of radical acceptance, like really trying to see things, like making an effort to see things as they are and accept it.
And accept it immediately.
And not spin it or delude myself.
Which is like cooperating with the inevitable.
I like that.
Just do that. Go ahead, go along with the inevitable.
Mm-hmm. As if you've made your peace with it.
Okay, so the section we're talking about is the obstacles to peace in A Course in Miracles. And it's going to hit pretty heavy on some of the ego sacred cows. Please turn to page 407 in the text. Chapter 19, section 4. Page 407. And I'll tell you, We're going to bust. We're right in the ego's face. Some of the things we hold the most precious for our own survival, Course in Miracles is going to challenge us and say, maybe you should look at what you're doing before you think it's such a good idea. You're blocking peace. Okay? Obstacles to peace. A. Paragraph 1, bottom of the page. You there, David?
Yeah.
Bring it.
The first obstacle, the desire to get rid of it.
Record scratch. What?
That's great.
Okay, let's go. What is Jesus talking about here?
The first obstacle that peace must flow across is your desire to get rid of it. For it cannot extend unless you keep it. You are the center from which it radiates outward to call the others in. You are its home, its tranquil dwelling place from which it gently reaches out, but never leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
If you would make it homeless, how can it abide within the Son of God? If it was spread across the whole creation, it must begin with you, and from you reach to everyone who calls and bring him rest by joining you.
Can you see the circle?
Yep.
Well, it's calling out the light of the world.
Uh-huh.
And if you're dimming, it's going to
uh-huh.
show it.
Well,
I don't know.
Darkness absorbs, light emits.
Yeah.
From the source.
Yeah.
Turn off the emitter, no light.
That's deep.
Good, Mario. Okay, the first obstacle that peace must flow across is your desire to get rid of it. Okay. That's pretty personal. That's pointing right at you, right? For peace, and he'll explain this further, okay? Peace cannot extend unless you keep the peace. Cause and effect are not separated. This is one of the metaphysics of this book. It has to teach us. We who live in a world of plurality, duality, of differences, live in a world of guilt and victimhood because we believe that the cause and the effect can separate, and then the effect, having been caused, becomes now a cause too, having its own, being its own cause of yet more effects. And down the rabbit hole you go, losing the original invention and dealing now with just the effects and the illusion. When it is a cause, is a cause because of its effects. Does not leave its effects. Effects do not exist without a cause. It's the ego that says, no, you do it, and then you got the problem that did, or the benefit that occurred because of the cause. Course in Miracles says, slippery slope, you. You're getting into time and separation and differences and individuality. Peace is this way. Peace is this way. You have peace when you are peace. Having and being are the same. You have love when you are available. Mm-hmm. You actually get drunk on it. You have love when you are being that love in that moment. Then you have it fully. You really experience it. This is having and being are actually the same. Becomes easier to understand when we recognize that we do not live in the future. It becomes easier to understand and recognize that we do not live outside of our own thoughts. It becomes easier to realize, make observed and noticed and experienced, realized that your very life is your current thought. Ha! Ah!
So is this talking about, like in one of the early workbook lessons, it's talking about that you think that you're in competition with God.
Yes.
That's what this is pointing to.
Yes, yes. That's like lesson 11 or something.
Yeah.
That is another example, great example, that lesson. A Course in Miracles just lays it right out in black and white and says, you're in or you're out, but I'll tell you, I know what's going on.
Right.
Whoa! Whoa! Is that possibly true? And now when I read that lesson, I think, God, how could that not be true? But I can remember arguing.
That was the lesson I was on last when I got really scared when I read it.
Yes. Yes. You bet.
It was something like, what came to me was it's like something like I have no power, I'm not important, there's nothing I can do that's worthwhile. That's what and I got scared.
Hey.
She was losing her identity.
Hey, yeah. Wait a minute. What about me? Yeah.
That's the one I quit on.
I thought,
I have to ask you what I'm going to do about this. I came to him and I said, lesson 11, didn't I?
Yeah.
And lesson 11 got me so scared I didn't do 12 or 13. I got stuck there.
Yes.
It still scares me when I think about it.
Indeed, and it should. It should. The Course in Miracles lessons. Did I ever mention that this is a radical course to enlightenment? This is not the easy way.
No.
I think it's the quickest that I can imagine. But by far and away, this is not the gentle, soft, like you can go to other meetings in Santa Cruz where they will tell you that you're perfect just the way you are.
Buddhist.
Yeah, just, you know, right, just the, everything you know about yourself is sacred, and you are the temple to holiness itself, just the way you are, even with your private thoughts of murder.
Yeah, and yet, you know, people go to those meetings, you know, endlessly.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not like they're instantly finding that. They get touched by that conversation, but yes, they're not, you know, able to somehow access it.
Yes.
So how do
it's
you
like access? Taking a drug, right? They are feel-goods. Believe me, they are feel-good meetings. I've been to them, you know, sat with one guy for a couple of years. He comes to town here, and I'm like, this is really wonderful. Then I just realized, wow, this is the same wonderful. And I'm ready to go to the next owning it. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, so I had to stop. When I got too scared is I said, okay, I have to go find out what it is I really want. And the list of things I really wanted was, I want to have the faith that I think that this is going to work out for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I made up a prayer, and prayer kind of embodied everything that I wanted.
Uh-huh.
And it made me feel better.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And basically, the prayer was that if I have, that I'm assuming God is giving me faith in God.
Yes, because, you know, our idea as egos, our biggest, you might recognize this from someplace else, our biggest problem as children and egos and little baby spirits, our biggest problem is what we think God is. Huge misunderstanding about what God actually is. The Course in Miracles will start to loosen our minds and get us closer to access to God. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. But as an ego, as a separate identity, there's a lot of sacred cows here that cannot be touched. And your body, and your identity, and the thoughts that you're proud of, and your things that you've made, you might even say created, but of course says no, those are things you've made. Anything temporary is only made, and it's only held like you hold a dream in the middle of the night, and then it'll be gone when you wake up. That's so threatening. But what real peace is made of has the essential nature of eternity, of being born not to die, but everything here is born to die. So we have to change, we have to shift our perception, our ideas of what God actually is. That's why calling nature God, it has often quite a glass ceiling to it. As beautiful as nature is. Yeah, yeah, slippery slope. Don't let the spiritual ego now, don't let the spiritual ego be your guide, because there's some chaos coming with that. Yeah. So, yes, you will get depressed in several of these lessons. They are designed to pry you away from your comfortable prison cell. It's become too comfortable. We're going to have to shake it up a little bit. Show you how cold that metal is. Chapter 14 says, it's called Happy Learner. And it says, this is a quote, "You who are steadfastly devoted to misery, comma, must first realize that you are miserable." That's what it says. We should go see that.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Okay, turn to page 272, I think. It's been so long. Wow, I'm out of practice here. It's, no, it's 272. I mean, yes, it's 272.
Wow.
In the workbook.
In the text.
No, in the text.
In the text, 272. This is a wonderful, potent, powerful section that is, I suppose this is a very generous insight into the teacher's mind. On how patient and kind and understanding is this teacher, Jesus, of the truth, is written right here in the first couple of paragraphs, introducing the Holy Spirit. Let's read that. Are you ready, Stephen?
"The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. You who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy."
Okay, hold on there for a second. So what he's talking about is like a really good attack that was deserved. Somebody's really guilty and you finally told them. Oh, it feels so good. And they said they're sorry. It worked. Is that happiness? Is that a mistake for happiness? Turns out, oh my God, you have so far from love, I don't even know where to start. Says Jesus, this is, you guys make up excuses for happiness here that are not love, they're not happiness. Oh,
is, we're chasing something too. Chasing, yeah, after something.
We're chasing after something.
It's like you think if you get X, Y, or Z, it'll be...
Yeah.
External things can't bring that.
So, Luann, this is what the text affords. That the text does is puts a sense of appreciation of the source of the material, and also an understanding of what's teaching what. I didn't say who, because that wouldn't, who's just not true. I could say who, if you never read Course in Miracles at all, but I know you have. I would say, who's teaching who? I would say that to a very much beginner. Oh, it's Jesus teaching me. No, actually, it's the next level up now. Remember I said there's like seven levels, at least, in the Course in Miracles? You get to what's teaching what. Because the who is a real misguiding sense.
That's back to your ego again.
Yes, it is. So that's what the text does. It instills a sense of confidence about what's doing the teaching and what's doing the learning. You get this sense of gravity of what are you holding in your hands, and then the workbook starts. So really, maybe, you know, if the workbook's giving you trouble, it may be time to receive the gift of the text again. And every day, instead of doing the workbook lesson, do 3 pages of text, and you'll be done in a year. And good luck on getting to the full 3 pages, because they are so amazing. And if you want an audio, I got audio on my website, or you can get audios on Amazon.com. I reckon my mind, of course. And I'll read it for you. I'll read it to you while you're doing laundry and driving and what have you. And we'll get through it together. You just get through it and receive the message of the text. It's amazing. But it'll prepare your mind so you can handle and you will see the lessons differently. I think it's required. It says it's required in the introduction to the workbook because it's very radical. The changes, the miracles that are being presented, they're radical in the workbook.
I think it really helps because you got to have some way to integrate it into your life.
Mm, yes.
And you know you're not going to be sitting in my living room when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, yeah.
You won't.
That's right. You haven't seen me, and I don't. Yeah.
So you know I have to have some way to, you know.
Yes.
And so it helps to you know have a different lesson every day. It gets you kind of.
Yeah.
You're retraining your mind, basically.
Yeah, and you're guided hour by hour to retrain your mind from habits that are deeply instilled.
Yeah.
It would take some hand-holding. It will hold your hand.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. But in order to take it seriously, because it's requests in here are not mild. They're not your competition with God? That's not a mild thing to say, but I'll tell you.
It makes sense because yes. You know I when that statement, it's like your mind, how it's like my mind is so used to like thinking that I have the ideas, you know, like it's all within me, I can figure it out.
Yes,
you know it's funny you say that because I'm looking at creation,
yeah,
and you know I'm submitting to it, and I'm looking at like the conceiving part of me and God, and okay. So in 9 months I'll be born to this new life, but I'm actually stepping into this reborn life. What I'm saying is, you know, using it as a metaphor to say, okay, let's start all over here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's the point of our peace meditation here in the beginning: is you're reborn in this instant.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, let's continue. There's more.
A little.
There's a little.
Are we back to 407?
We're on 272, actually.
Let's go on.
Yeah, and Stephen is going to continue. Stephen?
Yes. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends.
You got to back up two sentences.
You
got to back up two sentences before you read this one.
Okay. Well, maybe two or three. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing.
My example was like a really good attack. The foundation that rests on just means absolutely nothing. Okay, please continue.
Yet, it may still make sense to you.
Yes, you, as the Course says elsewhere, the separated ones, the separated ones, make sense to you. Yeah, go ahead.
Have faith in nothing and you will find the treasure that you seek.
Whole bunch of nothing.
Have faith in that. Yeah. Okay. Yet you will add another burden to your already burdened mind.
My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world.
Yeah.
Yes. Please continue.
You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it.
In lesson, I forget, six. I see nothing as it is now. And every once in a while, I'll turn that phrase over and go, I do see nothing, even as it is now. But I see nothing as it is now. You know, clever words.
Yeah.
Adding another burden to my already burdened mind. Please continue.
A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a wart are one to you.
Yes, yes. And so, I'm just for Luann's benefit, I'm going to just pop up some of these early lessons all in here. So this is like, for example, I am determined to see. I'm determined to see differently. Lesson 10 and lesson 11. 2 days to get this idea through your mind. I'm determined to see. Oh, yes, I am. I want the truth. I'm determined to see differently. Oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. That's what happened, right? And yet, when you read this sentence that he's reading, this paragraph you're reading out, you're saying, I think it's time for me to wake up. I recognize I am in the middle of a nightmare.
To me, it's all good news. All the concepts, the thoughts, it's all good news.
Nice. Nice, yes. And
why would you not want to wake up?
Why would you not want to wake up and be more free?
Yeah.
Yes, less stress, no fear. Less fear, good. Less guilt, good.
Yeah.
Nice. Please continue.
Wait a minute, you said something that really struck home. I realize that I'm in the middle of a nightmare, and that's a good thing to realize.
Yes.
What I'm hearing.
Yes, it's a good thing to realize.
Because you can wake up from that.
And it's only a dream. Yes.
Well, it's a metaphor, though. It's not, like, literal. I mean,
it's literal.
It is literal.
Well, let's just look. All right, two fingers now, right? Keep this page.
Three, actually.
Are we on three? Okay. Keep. We're going to another page now. So hold this page. We're coming right back to it, and turn to page 101. Page 101 in the text. Paragraph 6. And let's just see what's going on. What the bleep is going on here? So we're going to come back to you, Stefan.
Okay.
And Mark, would you read for us?
Okay.
101, paragraph 6.
Hear then the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all the questions the ego raises.
And just pause for a moment so everybody can realize what he just said. This is A Course in Miracles, Jesus, you know, so, but he's going to tell us the one answer to all the questions the ego raises. Bring it.
You are a child of God, a priceless part of his kingdom, which he created as part of him.
Mm-hmm. There's your identity. Nice, thank you. What else?
Nothing else exists, and only this is real.
Typical Jesus fashion. Hit the nail flat, and one more swing just to make sure it's seated. Please continue.
He was a carpenter.
You have chosen a sleep in which you have had bad dreams, but the sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake.
Thank you. We'll just stop there. There it is, one sentence, a pithy description, and a first you chose as a creator now. You chose a sleep. Harmless enough? You had to do that. You sleep in order to get away from one reality into another. Well done. You made a sleep. You chose a sleep. And inside that sleep, now you've had bad dreams. They're bad dreams because you had to exclude love, which is unity, in order to experience separation.
Say that again.
You had to exclude love, which is unity. You'd exclude God, which is unity, is connection, in order to experience separation. That was your goal. As a creator son, as an extension of God that says, what's it like to be separate from everything?
Yes, not real. That leads you to live in an unreal world where you can't win. So that's a nightmare.
It does. That's a nightmare. Amen. That's it. Good. Okay, you can drop that page now and go to page 272, and Stefan will please continue for us.
Okay, so it's 10. You will add another burden to your already burdened mind. You will believe that nothing is of value, and you will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war are one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious, and that you can learn how to make the untrue true.
Diagnosis of this world, and how it appears to be so interesting and real, and yet, from the ascended perspective of Jesus, oh my God, it's all the same. Everything that you, it's all the same. And you're having a dream that's actually made of nothing. And if you make one nothing part more valuable than nothing part, you'll believe nothing can be valuable. But wait, you missed the part where I said it's nothing. Busted! Man, do I need a miracle now. So yeah, I need those workbook lessons, and I'm actually going to do them one at a time each day as prescribed, as close as I can, because I want out of this nightmare. And it is, I recognize that he knows me better than I know me. This is a nightmare. It is not easy being in a body. And one day, as they all do, die, it will die.
Like, it's so bad. I mean, on some level, when I realize that I have to keep covering it up. Because I can't not.
Yes.
I can't then have that.
Right?
I mean, they're incompatible.
But you do, I can't face it all the time.
So I slip back.
Maybe take some drugs.
Covering it up.
Yes. Yes.
And then it's yes. Like, and then, well, then you got the misery you wanted.
This is awesome and honest. Yeah. 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 You bet. Good. Okay. So, man, this is such a great section, of course. Let's just read one more paragraph, and I'll try not to interrupt too much. So, Mario, are you ready to read?
Sure.
On 272.
272.
Because I want to give you some good news.
Okay. On number three?
The number two, page two. So paragraph two.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, seeing where you are, but knowing you are elsewhere, begins his lesson in simplicity with the fundamental teaching that truth is true. This is the hardest lesson you'll ever learn, and in the end, the only one. Mm-hmm. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Uh-huh. Consider all the distortions you have made of nothing, all the strained forms and feelings and actions and reactions that you have woven out of it. Nothing is so alien to you as the simple truth, and nothing are you less inclined to listen to. The contrast between what is true and what is not is perfectly apparent. Yet you do not see it. The simple and the obvious are not apparent to those who would make place and royal
palaces robes. And royal robes.
Would make palaces and royal robes
of
nothing.
Nothing.
Believing they are kings with golden crowns because of them.
Okay, we just got to stop there. It's an addictive section. You feel free to read it. It's a wonderful expose, and it announces your hero. And those italics are beautiful. It's a great prayer. The hero is the part of your mind still connected to the truth. Thank you very much. Okay, back to page 407. We will go back to that section. I love it. So fear not. One day we'll spend all night on it again. Okay, so the first obstacle of peace is that your desire to get rid of peace, your honest desire to get rid of peace, because peace cannot extend unless you keep it, being the source like a flashlight turned on, or the sun, the rays flow from the source and continue to flow as the flashlight is on. That's you being the peace that you hope to find. The circle is made by your participation and
so
your
witness. So I understand the paragraph. I don't understand the desire to get rid of it.
That's right. And you wouldn't. He's teeing it up in a way so that you have that question burning in your mind.
I do. I desire to get rid of peace on a regular basis.
How's it work? Tell me. Maybe you just saw it all right now.
How does it work?
Yeah, give me an example.
I just think of something that's not present.
Yes.
And then I kind of want, I get to the point, I lose focus, and then I like have to do something. I got
to have to do something.
If I'm peaceful and not doing anything, how's that thing going to get done?
If you don't do it.
At some point, I said I would do it.
You're going to lose if you don't get it done. In fact, you're losing now because it isn't done.
Yeah, and
he's
then
not
I sit
peace.
There and I can't, and even in while fact, I'm here in the group, I got things to do. And if I get wound up, I'll be like looking at my watch and I got to go. Why?
Look,
because
if he
I'm insane.
If he stays here in that chair peaceful, this thing that he needs to get done, guess what? Another hour lost.
And it's 10 things to get done.
You better go. Right?
Absolutely.
The peace is too expensive.
Gotta learn to procrastinate.
What?
He needs to learn to procrastinate.
I've been procrastinating for 52 years.
So what he's got to do is, he's got to learn to get rid of his peaceful nature. Look at him leaning back. Everything's got plenty of time to finish the meeting. No, that thing is happening right now without him. If he doesn't get out there and finish it, not going to be his to have and share to own. You can't afford it.
You can see me like being peaceful when there's things to get done.
Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, I'm out of the group.
You bet.
They hate that.
And Julie's got this up with her job. Can she afford to really chill out when she's got to remember and do and get it, do it all? After all, you know, they did give her the promotion, so it looks like you better sign up and show up and suit up.
There's not enough time in the day to do it all.
And peace is too expensive at that point. So says the ego.
I haven't even been doing my lessons lately. They've been so half-assed. Uh-huh. I mean, I opened the book, and then I'm like, I should check that email right now.
Right? There's an email. You could read the. You better do that first. And then it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So bad.
Yep. And yet, you know, I know you know this. Had you somehow squeezed the lesson in.
I know that.
Great day!
And today was going to be different.
Right.
I was really going to do the lesson today, and it was not different.
Yes. So she's very busy getting rid of peace, mm-hmm. so she can get things done. Mm-hmm. So we have a desire to get rid of it.
Our desire is that peace isn't worth not getting things done.
When I get everything done, then we'll have peace.
Right. Priorities.
Right. Every time you want to attack somebody, that's... You know, that guy has to be guilty. I'll forget him. No, not that guy. Well, you're not, how can you be peaceful? You're at war.
Yeah, how do you do a good attack?
Every time you go to war, you're not peaceful. War, peace is, you know what I mean?
A really good attack?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Imagine him jumping out of his chair, furrowing his brow, and coming over and putting his finger on your chest, starting a sentence with you. Imagine him doing that.
Yeah.
Whoa. Ain't gonna be peaceful. But that's good.
I think anytime you choose yourself... over, you know, like what's peaceful.
Mm. Yes.
That's, you know, choose your ego, choose fear, you know, choose to react to things rather than just allow things to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's talking about, it seems like. I mean, that's what it's talking about. It's like, so you leave.
Yes.
You depart, you know, your spirit.
Yes.
When you do that.
Yes, that's right. You depart the shared spirit.
Yeah.
And it could be this idea of the desire that trips up a little bit, because we don't think so much like, I mean, we ultimately know, once we've touched peace, we know that we want that. Mm-hmm. And so to think that we're desiring otherwise, it might feel like this conflict, but like our ego does not want that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it will fight that.
Yes.
In every way possible, because it will be the loss of our identity.
Yes.
Or from its perspective. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
So we...
And it has reasons for it.
Like sitting here think, well, I want peace. I really want it.
Yeah.
But that ego is going to fight it. I mean, it's...
with good reasons, right? With good reasons. The ego fights it with a whole set of reasons.
Yeah, and it's keeping our worth when we can cash in.
Like read an email. You could cash in by reading the email.
Well, there's something I want more than
instead
peace.
Instead of, yes.
There's something I want more than peace when I'm in that space.
More than peace.
Yes.
Yeah, I want more than peace.
That's right.
And I kind of know what it is. Everybody probably knows what it is.
That's a matter of forgetfulness.
Isn't it? If you've ever tasted peace, why would you ever leave it? And yet, you just forgot.
There's like a payoff. So, you know, like when you're in your ego, you want to somehow think that you can control things.
Right, and you dream... that you're controlling it will pay off.
Yeah, it'll pay off.
It'll be worth not being peaceful just for a couple hours.
Right.
Right? That's the idea. This is what we call the unholy spirit versus the holy spirit.
Yeah.
The unholy spirit, or the ego, does have reasons. And they're just as powerful as the Holy Spirit's reason. The Holy Spirit's reason, they're just as powerful. They will affect your life.
Yeah.
It will take you.
Well, there's where the conflict is.
And it's a real conflict.
It's between the unholy spirit and the holy spirit.
Yes. Each have a logic system that are complete. Damn it!
They're not connected. The only thing that can cause a conflict is me connecting two things that don't connect. But, you know, I heard what you said, and I'm not...
I think that when you're operating out of the unholy spirit, you're not you.
I think your ego.
Nothing.
You're nothing. But it's very, very strong.
Yes. That's very strong because it has a great logic that it just excludes one thing, okay? That's all. It just excludes one thing, but it has everything else. This unholy spirit is so complete. I mean, look at these two logic systems, the Holy Spirit and love and peace and light, and the unholy spirit, the ego,
control, health.
What's wrong with that? Wealth?
Accept yourself.
There's nothing wrong with wealth, really. Come on, that's money's not evil. It's evil people with money are evil. Yeah. So, yeah, protecting yourself, survival. Look at all this logic. You know? It's just one thing missing. I mean, unholy spirit. That's why we're all here, gathered, with the same book in our lap.
Wow, that answered a lot of my questions. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad I got the thank you instead of the other thing.
There's another way of putting what we're discussing is that the ego is designed to function in this physical world.
Yes.
That's just one of its arguments.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes. So since our condition from our past, it's all about how to survive in this environment, it's very easy to get sucked into its logic.
Automatic even. Yeah. Natural even.
Yes.
And yet the best decisions I've ever made that have been the easiest for me to go through because they just come naturally comes when I'm not thinking about them, they just come.
Turns out. You need to do nothing, right? That's a section in the text called I Need Do Nothing.
Just wait for whatever comes and that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh my goodness.
And you can even ask for it. Because I've noticed things, I'll put it maybe in a category of miracles, like, whoa, I was just thinking it, and I got it. And I'm looking at all these coincidences that are tying in with my thinking. Okay.
You call them coincidences?
Well, I'm calling them, okay, thank yous now.
I call them synchronicities.
Okay, but I don't know, whatever it is where I'm at in this new place of just...
See, this is why Course in Miracles is so valuable, because each of them are having the same experience, but they're not using the same words. When we study Course in Miracles, we go miracle, forgiveness, holy instant.
Amen.
Thank you. And then salvation. And then Holy Spirit becomes a noun and a verb sometimes. You know, so our benefit here of studying the book is we can use the same words, and then we know what we're talking about, and we can get deeper in our own understanding. Okay, let's go now. We have just enough time for Walt to read for us paragraph 2. We're turning a page. Please don't get a paper cut. You're a little out of practice.
And then a little dance.
Yeah. Walt will entertain us.
408.
With the smooth gyrations of Walt. 408 in the text.
Paragraph 2. Right?
Why would you want peace homeless?
Yes.
What do you think that it must dispossess to dwell with you? What seems to be the cost you are so unwilling to pay? The little barrier of sand still stands between you and your brother. Would you reinforce it now? You are not asked to let it go for yourself alone. Christ asks it of you for himself. He would bring peace to everyone, and how can he do this except through you? Would you let a little bank of sand, a wall of dust, a tiny seeming barrier stand between your brothers and salvation? And yet this little remnant of attack you cherish still against your brother is the first obstacle the peace in you encounters and it's going forth. This little wall of hatred would still oppose the will of God and keep it limited.
So there's your answer.
Wow. sentence 8. He would bring peace to everyone, and how can he do this except through you?
Yes.
That's the Christ in us.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, thank you.
Well, it's also called extension.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything. There's no Holy Spirit that you can put in the driver's seat or the passenger seat, really. He doesn't wear clothes, doesn't have a face, will never need optical correction as he gets old.
This paragraph was so...
It's you! Awake is the Holy Spirit. Yes.
No, it's just, you know, just playing with my name, Mar, Ocean, Rio,
yeah.
River.
Yeah.
And but I play with it. There's no sand on my beach.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny how it tells me right here.
Why, of course there's no sand on his beach. Somebody tell me later why not, but go ahead.
Because I don't want the... I wouldn't want to be, you know, what it just read right here. The little barrier of sand still stands between you and your brother.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
And then the other part right here where it really explained it, would you let a little bank of sand and a wall of dust, a tiny seeming barrier, stand between you and your brother and salvation?
Nice. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
There we go.
There's a sand on the beach and the river. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
thank
not
you,
Mark.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Not anymore. Can you see this fantastic, I mean, it, again, it's a circle, and also it's an explanation of what you think peace costs. It costs one of your favorite tools of the ego in the world, your ability to attack.
Wow.
Sometimes, doesn't the SOB have it coming? I mean, in this world?
Yeah.
That's how you get things done, right?
Yeah, but the cost is that it hurts you. You know, by using that tool,
yes,
you're using it on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
True, but I think it's even worse is that the hurting of you is that you can't love.
Yes.
You're right.
Blocking the awareness of love really thoroughly.
And that feels horrible.
And it gets even worse than that. How could it be worse than that? Mm-hmm. Well, because if you choose attack, you are now about to reinforce and prove to yourself that the effect of attack is real, and that somebody will lose when you're successful, as they should. The bad news, that's good news, okay, because they deserve it, they had it coming. The bad news is, if it works on them, it will work on you, which is the whole reason you need to attack, because somebody already attacked you and it worked. So it's your turn now to get even. Oh, no! What kind of a serial downward spiral have we entered when this is the way we live to achieve happiness?
Mm. Wow. And to seek peace. Wow.
Take not one step in the descent to hell, for having taken one, you will not recognize it for what it is or the ones that follow, comma, and they will follow.
Oh, yeah.
Quote unquote, page 494. Whoa!
You've got a great example.
Yeah,
from that.
Okay, we're about out of time.
When you make that statement about, that son of a bitch, if you just keep going with that in your mind, because that guy's just terrible, you will end up in your mind killing that person. Mm. That's what it says, what we think, what we do.
Yeah, and if you're not a body, neither are they, so who cares, right? Yeah. Go ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
Right? No. The problem is, it's not that they would live or die. Ultimately, that's nowhere near as important as you believe you can harm or be harmed. Mm-hmm. You're denying the invulnerability on page one.
That making the illusion real.
Yes. Yeah. And making vulnerability and loss real.
And also karmic issues with that.
So what making that the whole story.
What you believe is true for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period.
Good lessons.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we only have like one more minute, so I just want to point something out before we leave this paragraph behind. Okay, and Walt touched it already. And so this is sentence 7. Okay? Who threw this guy in there? Okay? Christ, as we approach Christmas. Christ asks this piece of you for himself. Wow. Christ, sentence 7, Christ asks this piece of who? You for why? Through what? What is he up to? What's he busy with? He's asking you why. What's up with this guy? For himself. Do you realize in that one little sentence, Christ just, you know, Jesus just drew another circle mm-hmm. of how the Christ is experienced, mm-hmm. of even what it is. There it is again. Okay. Whew. All right, so we're going to leave it at that. I move my marker to 3. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. Stand on your toes for a second. Peace. 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 Peace is a fertile ground, the Course in Miracles will show you. For all the things that you truly want grow. Peace is not the end. It's the required beginning. To go away from the chaos in your life and the doubts and the fear, these are from following the unholy spirit of darkness and ego. You must learn to just let that go by not doing it. You do nothing. And that grows the fertile soil of peace from which will grow everything you really want and are. So, in the words of this book, choose once again. Choose peace. Thank you, amen.
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 Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Good. Good.
Well done.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, yeah. So,
that's what I'm saying. I can't. I can't.